Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to Bread of Heaven's midweek Bible study. We are Wednesday before communion service. So I have asked Elder Brasher to lead us off in prayer.
Dear Lord God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord God, for another day that you've allowed us to make it through. And we thank you for being with us throughout this day. Lord God, we are always dependent upon you. And Lord God, we believe your word. When you say without me, you can do nothing. But Lord, with you, we're more than conquerors. With you, Lord God, we can do all things and accomplish all things, Lord God, through you that loves us and gives us the strength and the ability to do the things, Lord God, you've given us to do. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for bringing us to this point in this consecration. And Lord, there's things that we're asking you for. There's things that not spoken, but there's things that we've gone to you, Lord, and turned over to you, the Lord, and asked you to help us with and to help us to overcome and help us, Lord God, to break through. And Lord God, we need you. We need you, Lord God, to do all of those things, Lord God, that we're asking you for openly and very quietly in our secret closet. Lord God, we're asking, Lord God, to renew things in us, the spiritual things, Lord, that desire, Lord God, to seek after you. And Lord God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, Lord God, and to put you first, Lord, to make you the priority, Lord, in the things that we do. Lord God, and then you said those other things, all that other stuff, Lord, that we're asking for, it'll come. You'll put it in order. We need you to put things in order for us, put our days in order, order our steps, direct our path. Lord God, be a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path. Lord God, make the ways and the things that we need to do very plain and clear. Lord, open our spiritual ears to be able to hear your voice plainly and know that it's you. And not just be a hearer, not just hear your word, not just hear the words that are being preached, words that are being taught, words, Lord, that you're speaking to us personally. But Lord, let us be a willing doer. Lord God, like David said, when your voice said, when you say, seek ye my face, Lord God, my heart said, let our heart say, thy face, O Lord, Lord, do I seek. Lord, we're looking for more. We're just looking for more, Lord, more of you. Lord, increase our desire for prayer and to communicate with you. Lord, increase our love for the word again and searching the scriptures. Lord God, where we can find you and can find more of you. Lord God, just increase our love, Lord, for you, our love for the church, our love for people, our love for our brothers and sisters. Lord God, our sensitivity to people and Lord God, our sensitivity to you. And Lord God, you touching our hearts and you leading us, Lord, to do things and to help people. And Lord God, just Lord God, let your gifts, Lord God, manifest and Lord God, let them be keen. Lord God, give our gifts, Lord God, a keen sense, Lord God, and the ability, put those abilities in us and those gifts, Lord God, just open those up, Lord God, so that we can use them, Lord, to help and to minister and to build. Lord God, we thank you. We need you to build us. We need you to build us. things, Lord God, that have been taken out over the year, Lord God, that we need you to put them back in. Lord, things, Lord God, that that Lord may have caused us at times just to be exhausted. And Lord, we're asking you to renew our energy, renew our strength, Lord God, physical, spiritual, Lord God, Lord, that be new anointings and fresh revelations, Lord God, fresh word, Lord God, that you give us like the bread that was put out, Lord God, fresh, Lord, in the tabernacle. And Lord, it was fresh bread that you gave, Lord. We're looking for fresh bread, fresh, Lord God, understanding, a fresh insight to your word. Just everything, let it be fresh and new. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Lord God, if there be any sin, Lord, that we're battling with, Lord, help us to separate ourselves from that. Lord, you said if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Lord, if your hand offends you, cut it off. Separate from that, the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh, and whatever it may be that may be hindering us. And Lord God, don't let allow anything come between our relationship with you. Lord God, we need you. And Lord, we're looking forward to, Lord God, meeting with you in the communion, Lord, and communing with you, Lord, on Friday. We're looking to meet you, Lord. And Lord God, we know that when we meet you, there's blessings that, Lord God, you bring with you, that you're going to bestow upon us as the bread is broken, as the blood, Lord, as we drink the blood, there's blessings that'll flow. And Lord, we're looking for that. Lord, we thank you for all of the blessings. Your blessings and prayers are already being answered, even, Lord God, through this consecration up to now. There's things we've asked you for that we're starting to see already. Lord God, don't let us overlook the things that are happening right now that you're doing. You're already working on our behalf. So we thank you. We love you, Lord, for everything that you're doing, things that you're going to do. Blessings, Lord God, that we may not see, Lord God, for months. But Lord God, you're working on those things. You're putting things in order. And Lord God, continue to build our hope in you. Lord God, we're going to continue to hope and be in a position of waiting with expectation. And Lord God, in a position that it can happen at any time. We're looking, Lord, for you to do it at any time. Lord, healing the bodies and minds and spirits. Lord God, we're looking for testimonies to come out of this. Lord, we thank you. We love you for everything that you do. Bless the word tonight. Just let it, Lord, touch everyone here. Lord, we thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Perkins. It's good to see that we have a few of you already on. And tonight we're going to talk about Christ crucified. And if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians. Second chapter, and we're going to read the first five verses. We're going to go a few other places. Praise the Lord. Bishop August, some of his remarks to the preachers, has told us a simple definition of the gospel. And his definition that he is graciously given to the preachers is the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. In light of that, 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter verses 1 through 5. And brethren, Paul talking, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I didn't come here with all of the big words I knew. I didn't come here with philosophy. I didn't come here trying to impress you about what kind of speaker I was. For I determined not to know anything among you save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And have you noticed brothers and sisters, that a lot of what is out there, internet, social media, is about horizontal things, about how to deal with haters and how to make money and all that kind of stuff. And that's all right, but that's not really the impetus of the gospel. It's about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul, as much as he knew, as educated as he was, a Pharisee of Pharisees, a rabbi, and reputed to speak many languages, said, the only thing I've determined to know before you is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And certainly, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, talks about the foolishness of preaching and the preaching of the cross. So it's important that we, you know, put a greater deal of emphasis on it. The preachers already do it. Sometimes I'll stray away. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You know, I didn't put on an act. I didn't pretend that everything was all right. I told you we despaired even of life itself at times. And verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not in with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And it's a dangerous thing to have your faith in a human being. That's misplaced faith. The human being is supposed to be a vessel. It's supposed to be an ambassador. It's not my invitation. It's an invitation that comes through me, but the invitation is from Jesus Christ, right? And so, and the plea is really from the Lord. It's the word, right? And so the preacher is a messenger person, a mailman, a proclaimer of what already has been. Just like the in days of old, they had the little newspaper boys on the corner saying, extra, extra, read all about it. Well, it wasn't his news. He was publishing news or spreading or carrying out or delivering news that journalists and others had prepared and put together in a newspaper. So we want to not ever stray far away from understand that this is a vertical thing, that if we take care of the vertical in terms of our relationship with God and be reconciled with him, then all these issues that we have about people and situations and circumstances and even the challenges of the day, which are important, right? We are supposed to know the times. We are supposed to be able to respond. We are supposed to give an answer for the hope that is within us, but it starts first vertically. It starts first with Christ, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. And we can't, hallelujah, dilute that with techniques and stuff like that. These things are spiritually discerned. The smartest person that ever lived will never understand Jesus unless Jesus Christ reveals himself to him, period. All right. Topic, Christ crucified. I want to go to one of the crucifixion scriptures, Matthew 27. We're going to read 6 verses there. I think it's more than 50 verses in this chapter. We could read quite a bit of it, but we're going to read 5 verses. Matthew 27, verse 45. Now from the 6th hour, there was darkness over all the land until the 9th hour, roughly from noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. In about the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I can't help it. Every time I see that, I ask the question, my God, why hast thou forgiven me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias or Elijah. And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias or Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. So the crucifixion, he died on the cross in a public place, stripped of his clothes, beaten, tortured. I left out the gory details, this sad. We might get to that Sunday if the Lord leads, but sometimes the gory details are what we're led to talk about, and sometimes maybe don't need to discuss it every time you get on top. He was crucified. He was nailed to the cross for us. Hallelujah. In our place. Matthew 28, the next chapter. I'm going to read 1 through 10. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre or the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I think without this verse, we wouldn't know exactly what happened, because I think that's the only of the four gospel accounts that talks about an angel rolling back the stone. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, talking about the angel. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And they couldn't move. They were immobilized. And in the presence of the holy, you know, you can't just be all cool in the presence of the Lord or one of his angels, you know. It's awesome. And the angel answered and said to the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. You get that? fear. Been in the awesome presence of that which is holy, that which is heavenly and divine, and great joy because of the news, the good news that Jesus was risen, and did run. These sisters, you know, were taking them up and putting them down. They were running and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciple, behold, Jesus met them. Hallelujah. Before they could get to the disciples, they met Jesus on the way. Jesus met them saying, all hail. And that's H-A-I-L. And they came and held him by the feet. You get the picture of that? That's beautiful. And sometimes, you know, we don't think like that. We don't get the picture of it. They're worshiping him. They're down on the ground, holding Jesus's feet. They're overcome with a desire to love on Jesus, hallelujah, and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. There's a famous phrase you hear in some church circles about that. It says, meet me in Galilee. And I think it's so awesome that he takes the disciples back to Galilee. to teach them, to reveal himself, to give them instruction, to calm their fears. And so eventually they got to Galilee and were able to be with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Again, the topic is Christ crucified. I'm trying to sneeze. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, we know what an ambassador is. In the United States, we have ambassadors to different countries. Usually, these are seasoned diplomats. These are people, you know, that have a career of excellence and who have served in similar capacities or who have experience in the public arena. Maybe sometimes they have some familiarity with other cultures or other languages, and they become ambassadors to another language, to another country. We are ambassadors for Christ. Hallelujah. Now, when you read it and you translate the word ambassadors, you get the word, the picture of like an older man, an elder, right? But here, the impetus of this, the meaning, the sense of it is that we're all ambassadors for Christ. So we don't have to be old. We don't have to be elders. We just have to be born into the kingdom and become ambassadors, right? An ambassador represents Christ. Remember I was saying that, you know, we don't want to get too caught up in men. And so an ambassador points the people he deals with back to the principle, right? To the person that has the authority. He is just an emissary, a representative, a go-between, a liaison. Hallelujah. Now, he has to conduct himself professionally and with diplomacy. The scripture tells us to speak the truth in love. So that's how, that's part of the way we represent Christ. So we pray you in Christ's stead. We invite you in Christ's place. We are just representatives. It's not really our plea. It's not really our invitation. We're just passing the word on. We are go-betweens. And it says, be ye reconciled to God. Hallelujah. And then it says, for he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That breaks me up every time because I'm thinking of God wrapped in flesh, sinless, never subject to the Adamic curse that we have. He came, hallelujah, outside of sin and made himself sin. Hallelujah, made himself a sin offering for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you think about that, you will pray. Hallelujah. If you think about that, you'll find ways to come to church, hallelujah, on Sunday morning, even if you have a slight obstacle, right? There are times when we can't make it on Sunday. Sick, out of town, whatever, hallelujah. Sometimes people have jobs that you just can't be there. You have an obligation. You can't be there on Sunday morning. But so many times we're just absorbed in ourselves. We're not thinking about the one who was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But keep that in mind, that the sinless sacrifice, the high priest and the offering, laid down his life for us. Christ crucified. On Friday night, if God allows, we're going to gather in the precious name of Jesus at Bread of Heaven Church. We're going to have worship. We're going to pray. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. Hallelujah. I've asked people, you know, traditionally the sisters will wear white, the brothers will wear black, but I did a little different. I just said, wear red, black, or white, or some combination of that. We're going to come with one accord. If you're mad at somebody, pray that and get that out of your system before you come into that sanctuary. Come in there ready, hallelujah, to partake of the body that was broken for us and the blood that was shed on Calvary's tree for us. Christ crucified, that's what it's about. And come ready to worship, to rejoice. Now, it's not a shouting time. We can rejoice in the sense of knowing how God, you know, in gratitude. I think it's the Catholics that talk about communion being the Eucharist. A Eucharist means thanksgiving, right? So it's a time of thanksgiving. It's not the time normally running around the church. Now, some if the Spirit hits you, yeah, but that's not the kind of worship it is. It is singing. It is reflecting on the goodness of the Lord. It's being broken, hallelujah, before the Lord who knew no sin but was made sin for us. It's thinking about the enormity of the scandal of the cross and, hallelujah, how we deserve to be hung up somewhere because of our sin, hallelujah. And yet there was a sacrifice made that God himself came in flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he allowed himself to endure the contradictions of sinners and be mistreated, hallelujah, and all the terrible things that they did. And tonight, I'm not going into the gory details yet for us, right? Because he loved us, praise God, because, hallelujah, it's Jesus and him crucified. Hallelujah. It starts there. And Paul said, as great as he was, I'm not pretending to know anything else, but Christ, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. So the communion service is an opportunity of thanksgiving. It's an opportunity of worship. It's an opportunity of reflection. And I think the elder put it in a good way. I can't say it how he said it, but I can give you the gist of it, is that it is the consummation of the consecration period that is leading up to this privilege of taking the Lord's Supper. And in taking the Lord's Supper, we have to, and that consecration really helps us, we have to go through a period, as the elder talked about Monday, of self-examination, right? Because we don't want to do this unworthily, not considering the Lord's body. We want to be ready to take the communion. Hallelujah. To receive this. It's a special privilege, right? And so we want to be ready. Now, somebody may be on the call thinking, I'm not ready. Well, you still got time to get ready. Hallelujah. Especially if you're born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. You got time to get ready. We're going to pray some more before this call is over. You got time to get ready through that prayer or through your own private prayer, right? And we want to be in readiness. I was reading something recently. It was a secular thing about the difference between preparation and readiness, right? Preparation is of the process of trying to get ready. Readiness means you ready. Hallelujah. Paul told Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. We don't want to be ever learning, trying to get to the truth. We want to be in a place where we can be used to bless somebody else with the ministry of reconciliation, which is at the heart of being an ambassador for Christ, right? So we got time. We got time, but we want to always to be in readiness for the Lord. Now, we're human. We can't always be ready every instant, but that should be our goal. Hallelujah. Ready to receive, ready to give a kind word, ready to lend a helping hand, ready to do something tangible if the Lord leads us. Ready, hallelujah, with the love of Christ, to intervene in the situation, knowing that it's not about you. It's Christ, hallelujah. Jesus Christ, hallelujah. It's about him and him crucified and how glad you are. As much as you hate, you cringe sometimes when you think about what he went through, how glad you are, hallelujah, because that's your only hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let's go over to Hebrews. The topic is Christ crucified. We're on Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and we're going to be in Hebrews for a few passages right through here. Oh, my Lord. Oh, when we think about where God has brought us, right? The times when we were sick. The times when we weren't technically sick, but we had no strength, we had no energy. The times when we felt stranded and misunderstood. And the people we loved the most, it seemed like I was saying A and the other person was hearing Z, right? And times when there's a disconnect. Those are painful times. You know, we don't let them paralyze us, but it's painful. When you have those differences, it doesn't have to be an argument. It's just not seeing eye to eye about things. And you want to see eye to eye. You want to do things with one accord. So it can be very difficult just living day by day. Misunderstanding. Somebody thinks your motive is X and it really is Y. And we go through these things, this walk, hallelujah. That's why it's important to keep the cross before us, hallelujah. I've told this story before, but maybe somebody hasn't heard it, or maybe somebody hadn't gotten what I was trying to say in rehearsing the story. That how this old Scottish preacher, William Barclay, Barclay, who's a great expositor, especially of the New Testament. He said he went to an old hill where there was some tombstones on that hill, and there were his parents. And he said he was almost like forgetting some of their great qualities, forgetting what it felt like to be in their loving presence. Through time, I mean, through decades. He was an old man when he was telling this. I read this in a book about communion, I think. The Lord's Supper might be the name of the book. But anyway, he said, but when he got to that hillside, all the memories started to flood back. Hallelujah. So it is with the cross. It dawns on us what Jesus has done for us. When we speak of Jesus Christ and him crucified, the cross. And we begin to remember that we are to be commissioned to be good soldiers. Hallelujah. Not tangled up with the world too much. Soldiers of the cross. Now, if you told somebody at your worst time of your life, the lowest point, the least spiritual part of your life, I want to be a soldier of the cross, they would have probably cussed you out or something. They would say, you've lost your mind. How can you ever be a soldier of the cross? How could you ever be put in a holy place? How could you ever, hallelujah, be entrusted with sacred things? Hallelujah. And it's not possible naturally. That's why going up shaking a preacher's hand, that's a dangerous thing that has permeated church circles. It's a spiritual process. We have to be surrendered. We have to yield under God's authority and let him take us from our shakable life into his unshakable kingdom. Hebrews 4, talking about Christ crucified. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We're not authorized to compromise. We're not authorized to back up. We can't handle the word of God deceitfully. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. We have to tell it like it is. The Lord knew what to do with us. He knew to tell us to speak the truth in love, because, you know, once we get, you know, we get full of the vigor of the Lord and all that, we're going to send everybody to hell unless we have some admonishment in the scripture, some instruction in the scripture, some guardrails in the scripture about how we're to do it. And we have scriptures that tell us if we do it in love, if we don't do it in love, that we're nothing, sound and brass and a tingling. The Lord made sure that was in there so that we would, who have been blessed to be converted and changed and filled with the Holy Ghost and blood washed, praise God, that we would have that balance that God wants us to have so that we can be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, hallelujah, and telling people the truth about Jesus Christ and telling them the truth about how he brought us out of darkness into light and how he gave us a new name and a new testimony and a new walk and a new, hopefully a new tongue, hallelujah. Seeing then we have a great high priest passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And yet, hallelujah, he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Hallelujah. It's, you know, it's just a paradox that sometimes people die, right? Sometimes pain happens, right? And the person, the being, I don't want to call him a person because he's not a person. He's a being. His ways are not like our. He's the only being sometimes that could stop it, that could do the miracle. Hallelujah. And for reasons unknown to us, he doesn't. Hallelujah. But he's still touched by the feeling of our infirmities when he allows something heartbreaking to happen. And that's what we got to get. Hallelujah. And that's why we got to minister. Hallelujah. to people as ambassadors for Christ. And, you know, I use analogies sometimes, and everybody on this call knows that analogies are imperfect. But one of my analogies that I use when talking about ambassadors is the idea of an embassy, right? So I don't know, for example, if the French embassy, if it is, the France's embassy, if it is physically in New York, I don't know where it is. If it's geographically located in New York, when you step on the embassy grounds, you are in France, the sovereign country of France that's thousands of miles away across the sea in Europe. But when you stand on the embassy ground, that's why if you want to get into an international incident, go and deface somebody's embassy. You know, if you want to get some big time jail time, if you want to really find out what international law is about, you say, well, I'm just in New York. New York law, you get on those embassy grounds, you're in France. And so the church is an embassy. The local church is an embassy. You ever heard of people say, well, my feet strike Zion? Well, the church is supposed to be a place of refuge, an outpost for his glory, a place, praise God, where we are determined to let the world wash off of us. Hallelujah. That we come into the gates, even the outer gates, even before we get into the actual sanctuary with thanksgiving and praise, right? Because we have this privilege of being an ambassador and to step into an embassy and to touch ground that has been consecrated, set apart for a very sacred purpose. And that's why you hear preachers say, some of them just talking trash, but a sincere preacher say, I stand behind this sacred desk, you know? Yeah, that's true. The desk is made out of ordinary wood, but it's consecrated for a purpose. And as I said in 1 Corinthians 1, it talks about the foolishness of preaching, the preaching of the cross. Hallelujah. Where people are saved through the preaching of the cross. Hallelujah. Now, how much more sacred could it be to stand behind the sacred desk and proclaim that which God uses to bring shipwrecked souls, heartbroken people, disillusioned people, people still having the sting of church hurt, to the altar, to the kingdom, to salvation through the foolishness of preaching? Because the world would tell you talk is cheap, but we know talk is not cheap. When that talk is about God's word, it is a proclamation of truth that will last through the ages, through eternity. And we've been entrusted with it, and it's a great thing. Christ crucified, God wrapped in flesh, crucified. Hallelujah. Our Redeemer, crucified. Our Deliverer, the Anointed One. Hallelujah. Our High Priest, who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Hallelujah. And it says, at all points tempted, like as we are, Hebrews 4:15, yet without sin. 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let's remember that. It's not a throne of entitlement, but we can come boldly. Why? Because we're asking. We're asking God. We are bringing our faith to God. trusting that he'll give us in return for our faith his grace, to the throne of grace that we may obtain, mercy. It's a throne of grace, right? He'll have mercy on whom he'll have mercy. Just remember that. But yet we can come because we know he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, and we can move heavens. You know, just frail people like us coming to church, head hurt, mad at mom and them. But yet we get to that prayer, into the realm of prayer in the spirit, and God can respond, hallelujah, to what comes out of these lips of clay, so long as those lips of clay are connected to the heart. We ain't just up there playing. We cannot play God. So, and we know that. That's just common sense. So boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. I've said this many times. We can only get two things from God: justice or mercy. And we can lump grace and mercy in there together, just for this purpose, right? We will never get injustice from a holy God. And find grace to help in time of need. That is such a mind-blowing truth to me, that needs that First Lady Renita has that I don't even know about. And we've been married 46 years and we love each other, and we always checking on each other. We want to make sure everything's all right. Ain't nobody acting a fool on her on the job. We're checking on each other. She's checking on me to see how I'm feeling. Am I eating right? All of that. But she could have needs that, as much as I want to be attentive and much as I want to be tuned in, I could know nothing about. But here it says, at the end of verse 6, find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. Quiet needs. I quote the Elizabeth Barrett poem sometimes, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways." But the part that sounds like she knew some Bible is, "I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need." Hallelujah. The pain we feel in the course of a week, the disappointment we feel when somebody takes something innocent, we say, and makes it in the sun, just makes it in the sun. So something that you have to spend time explaining, and you shouldn't have to. They should know you by now. But that's how it is. And it goes the same thing. We do other people like that, probably not even realizing. Hebrews 12:3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sin." We need to consider him before we start complaining. We need to consider him when we're getting ready to back up. We want to run this race set before us, with patience. We want to lay aside the sin and the weight that does so easily beset us, and run this race with patience. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind, so that you won't get tired, so that you won't give, so that you won't become weary and well done. Hallelujah. So his endurance, he sowed endurance so that we could have some. And we go through things, and God brings us through, and you know, we get blessings. I got a phone call yesterday from someone I grew up with, who's 2 or 3 years older than me, who was a good friend of my brother, and he just wanted to talk to me. And you know, he's connected to our family, but he's lived in Florida for many years. And he was always my brother's friend. But he called me. We had a beautiful talk. He's a man of faith. We laughed a little. He sent me a picture from way back, I don't know, 1970, I believe 1970. With him and my brother on the Pearl High baseball team. And one other guy that's connected to our family by marriage. And we just had a beautiful time talking. So growing up, he was a big boy and I was a little boy. Now we're talking like men, showing respect for each other, honoring each other, talking about the Lord. We didn't talk about the Lord back then. You see what God can do, right? I was comforted in that. It helped me feel better about having to say goodbye to my brother. That's kindness in the world. Hallelujah. Let me read this again. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God knew I needed some kind words from somebody who loved my brother yesterday. It brightened my day. It ministered to my soul. And we were laughing and talking as if 30 years hadn't gone by. Or more than that, 50 years really had not gone by. And it was a delight. It was grace to help in time of need. I didn't know I needed that, but I sure found out that I did when the conversation started. So God is good. All right. Christ crucified. Questions? Coming. The time went tonight probably quicker than it ever had gone. When you teach this class, you look at an hour, you say, whew, I don't know if I got enough for an hour. The next thing you know, it's 45 minutes after the hour. Now it's 52 minutes after. So questions, comments, brief testimonies. Anybody have any questions about the communion service? It's going to be 7:30. It's in person only. I think that's it. We use actual wine. I'll probably get some red grape juice in case somebody, rather have that. Sometimes that actual wine can bring something up that you don't want to bring up. I get it. I'm not gonna deny your preference like that. And then we use unleavened bread, which is usually kosher, that I get from the kosher section of a grocery store. And we pray over it, and God bless us, and we have a beautiful time. We used to do foot washing years ago. We used to have it in the house, foot washing. And communion. Communion is biblically required. It doesn't tell us how often. The foot washing, in my view of it, is not actually required in the same way as communion is. So we can get back to the foot washing if somebody wants to do that. That's fine. It's beautiful, too, the way we did it. All right, Elder Brasher, I saw that you had taken your phone off mute for a second. So if you got something, Go ahead.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord. This is just concerning the communion. You know, in the past, there may have been somebody that needed the communion kit delivered. You think anybody's going to need a kit? They won't be able to make it.
Well, we hadn't planned to broadcast it. We can, if somebody wants to do it, we can do the telephone line. We can do the conference call.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And if somebody, we have some kits in the refrigerator at the church. If somebody wants a kit, text me or Elder Brash, but and we'll figure out a way. We might even enlist some of the other brothers if they live on that side of town. But text me if you want that. And if we have at least one person who wants to do it remotely, we'll just have that person call in the conference call line that we use on Monday nights, and we'll do it that way. But I have not arranged for it to be on Facebook Live. And it's not, to me, it's not a public service. It's not the kind of service that should be on Facebook. So I think we did it by Zoom, which is a little different, that we don't broadcast our Zoom in the same way that we do our Facebook. So. But for Friday, somebody lets me know, I'll make sure we have the telephone conference line. Anybody else? Anything else? Doesn't have to be about the communion service. It could be about brief testimony or something about tonight's lesson. I need the saints to be praying for Elder Matheny, please, and for me. He's asking for me, and he asked for First Lady and me yesterday. So they called us. We talked to him. We prayed. He was a little, I don't know what the right word is, in his speech, maybe a little jumbled in his speech, which, you know, if you know Elder Matheny, that's not him. So he's very, very sick. They have reported that they're expecting him to go away from here within 2 weeks or something like that. We don't know. But given that, and given that he's asked for me, and given that he told me some months ago he wanted me to do his eulogy if I happened to outlive him or whatever, and given his situation where he's kind of going through a divorce, you know, there's a decree, he's got a motion pending to set aside. It's just horrible. So I have talked to First Lady Renita because I had to kind of clear it with her. And brothers, that's a lesson for you. Sometimes you want to jump up and do something for one of your brothers, and then if you got a wife, you need to talk to her about it. Well, this is what my plan is, and I need y'all praying on this. My plan is, after communion service, to hit, I've got a rental car lined up to go and spend the night in Chattanooga Friday night. I'm not dragging First Lady with me, but she gave me permission. And I've talked to the people at the hotel. I tell them I'm going to be there late. So I got a late arrival. I got a late checkout too. Super nice people I talked to on the phone. And then with that, I plan to be, with God's grace, in Atlanta early afternoon on Saturday. to be with Elder Matheny. And then come on back home. By God's grace, get a good night's sleep and come and rejoice with y'all in the Lord on Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday, 9:30 service. So I need prayer for that. I don't want this to be about what I want to do, but I feel led of the Lord. But the saints, I need the prayer cover, right? Because God has blessed me with a measure of strength for my age. I'm 68, right? And you know, it's a blessing to when you were young, when you were athletic. Sometimes that has a carryover later in life. Maybe that has helped me to have a measure of strength at this time. But I know after a communion service, it wouldn't be wise to drive all the way to Atlanta. So a 2-hour drive to Chattanooga after having an off day on Friday where I can rest up during the day, that's doable. That's not something super extreme, but I need the saints to pray for me on that because I'm not worried about it. But when you're part of a body of a spiritual family, there are times when you need the people interceding for you. I was at a church service in Nashville where Tudor Bismarck, he's from Namibia. He's a renowned preacher and he talks about money a lot, but he can preach. He was in Nashville and somehow I got invited to it by somebody and I went. And he's going to be in Nashville a few days. He said his saints were praying in shifts around the clock. And they would remain, they had assignments or 24 hours a day while he's going. I'm not asking y'all to do that, but I've yielded to the power of prayer. So I want y'all to pray for me. Question, comments, brief testimonies, clarifications, if any, about the communion service.
Praise the Lord, Pastor.
Praise the Lord.
I am committed to be praying for your strength in the name of Jesus. That you are carried by God's special anointed and appointed angels as you travel safely to Chattanooga Friday night and to be with your friend and brother in the gospel Saturday. And return back to us Sunday. Amen. I'm praying for you.
Thank you.
Also wanted to say thank you for your post on band. Today is Samantha's birthday. Yay, I made it.
Wonderful.
I wanted to say happy birthday to Samantha. And I know Sister Carol's niece, Anisha, her daughter's birthday is tomorrow. So happy early birthday to her. They're like right after one another. So amen to that. And glory to God. Love you all.
Amen. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Samantha.
Happy birthday, happy Samantha.
Birthday. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
That's sweet.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Yes, Elder Matheny.
Amen. Elder Brashy can attest to this. And Elder Gerald Jackson can attest to this. And of course, First Lady. He's a rough man, you know. He's one of those old school, came up under Bishop Golda, some more of those old school preachers. He's rough, you know. He's tough. He's apostolic to the bone and back again, you know, and strict and all that. I've been there at his church where in between Sunday school and church he'll call somebody, why you not in Sunday school, you know. He's rough. Well, mighty in the scriptures, and then over these last 6 months he's changed. He's saying stuff like he loves me. I hadn't heard that in 40 years. He's telling me he appreciates my ministry, stuff like that. And it's from his heart. And it's a strange set of, you know, most time I talk on the phone, he just preached the whole time. I say, amen, Elder, you know, whatever. I don't have a lot to say. Crack a joke or two. And now he's listening. And he's grateful. We prayed and cried over the phone. So find grace to help in time of need. And our boast is in the Lord. Our trust is in the Lord. Anybody else?
So, Pastor, we're going to mourn with you. You mourn, we're going to mourn. You weep, we're going to weep. You rejoice, we're going to rejoice.
Thank you.
Yeah. And my son, he had an operation yesterday. They were going to put a stent in his heart. Yeah, he don't have no blockage at all.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You,
God. Hallelujah.
He don't have any blockage, which is amazing. So,
hallelujah.
Thank God for that. Thank God for your prayers.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
This is Sister Carol. I just want to say with Pastor Medini, I didn't know him that well, but I know him more, you know, from watching his videos. And everything as he's going through his battle with cancer. And I was just really, you know, impressed about that. I just continue to give God the glory and everything, even though he's facing a difficult battle. And I was praying for him. I was just so touched by his strength that he was going through. He just continued to pray, to praise God.
He's different. God has molded all that into something powerful and wonderful. And so taking all the different parts of his personality, he's still who he is, but has brought out the best in him. I'm a witness to it, and I'm thankful. I'm the kind of guy, I can get along with just about anybody. So it wasn't a problem that he was kind of stern or whatever, wanted to preach to me all the time. That wasn't a problem. But now he's talking to me in a different way. It's loving. He's talking about grace. And it's really been really a personal blessing. Not that he's sick, but to see his faith, to see him yield under God's mighty hand and speak so graciously. It's done me good. It's done me good. So pray for him. I never heard him jumble up words. He could talk to you all day long. I never heard him jumble up words. So, you know, it really is, the sickness is really affecting him. And it's hard to observe it. I don't enjoy going to sick beds. I don't enjoy going to funerals. I don't enjoy seeing people cry and hurt. But when I texted his daughter Lydia today to get the exact location of where he is being treated, she was so thankful. Thank you. And all that I'm coming. And we're believing that God's going to cause my going through the ministry of presence to be a blessing And I want to go while he is able to know I'm there and appreciate. And, you know, God can make this stuff go away. He can put it in remission. But there's a sense of urgency about this. And so pray for me. And pray that I have something to preach to y'all. All this stuff that's going on. But God is great and greatly to be praised. Anybody else want to say anything? Before I ask somebody to close us out in prayer.
I would like to say praise the Lord, to everyone. And it was a great Bible study. And the Lord is just really blessing you, and you're just bringing forth His word, you know, with power. And I just thank God, you know, for those scriptures. And also to let you know that, you know, we are continuing to pray for you. And so I'll be in contact with Sister Perkins to make sure you're making it there safely and everything. And just know that we love you. And I'm sure the whole church is lifting you up. So, you know, let you know we've got your back, and we're praying for you in Jesus' name.
Thank you. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than Brother Heaven Church. I really wouldn't. We have an awesome group of people by God's grace. And so I'm thankful. Anybody else? All right.
Just want to say praise the Lord. I love everybody.
And you know everybody loves you. Can't help it. Praise the Lord. All right.
This is Sister Carol. I just want to say I agree with Sister Brasher. Everything that she said about you and everything.
Thank you.
And it's a good Bible study. When you talk about the resurrection of Jesus, the crucifixion, all that, even though some parts of it, you know, like you said, you didn't get into that part, but, you know, you got into the real good part when he was resurrected and everything. And that's why we have our joy today, because he did rise.
Anybody else? All right. Minister Malone, if you're still available, I know you got a baby on your hands. If you're still available.
No, she has a daddy. Her daddy is home.
Well, praise the Lord.
It is past the baby. Amen. I am available, sir.
All right. So if you have final remarks, I always give people the option to have final remarks. It's not mandatory. And to close us out in prayer.
No, sir, I don't have any final remarks. I'll just pray.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Dear gracious God, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love, your covering, your protection. We thank you, Jesus, just for being God. We thank you for being sovereign. We thank you for your shed blood. We thank you for your covering. We thank you, O God. We know there is none like you who sits high and looks low. We know, Jesus, you hold all power in the palm of your hand. And we thank you. We thank you for this time of consecration, this time to be drawn closer to you in word, in by your spirit, our deeds. We pray that the turning of our plate is honorable to you, Jesus, that you will be glorified, that no flesh is glorified, but you receive all the glory, Jesus. We thank you for keeping our minds stayed on you. We thank you. We thank you for keeping our heart and our souls knitted together in unity with the saints, the fellow saints, our brothers and sisters in the gospel. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the gathering of this Bible study, the teaching of this Bible study. We pray for everyone that is tuned in, and even those that are not, for whatever reason, Jesus, we pray that you will continue to draw them by your divine spirit, that you will be glorified through their lives, that your power will be manifested in the name of Jesus. We pray for the saints, oh God, as we continue this week and continue throughout the consecration, as we will prayerfully gather together on Friday night and celebrating the resurrection of Youth Sunday. We pray that you will continue to keep us and continue to unlock the mysteries of your word and your power to us. Reveal to us, Jesus, who we are and whose we are, the more we know, hallelujah, that we are your sons and daughters. We know that you are the King of Kings. We know that you are our Father. But reveal our purpose, our destiny. Give us the words to speak to someone from this day until we meet again to draw them to you in the name of Jesus. We pray for our pastor, for the days ahead of him. We pray that you will continue to enlarge his territory, oh God. Enlarge his territory, Jesus. As we pray for a retirement date where he can hang up his robe, but enlarge his territory, Jesus, as he traveled to Atlanta to visit his friend, to operate in ministry, enlarge his territory. As he travels, those that he encounter in his family, those that are far off, draw them that his territory shall be enlarged for your glory. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name, O God, for Elder Jackson's son. We praise you, O God, for the good report to show your hand once again. We thank you, O God, for being in every trial, every tribulation, to count and know every tear that has wept from your children. We thank you for yet and still being God, for covering, for keeping, for protecting. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for opening doors that no man can open, shutting doors that no man can shut, for making a way out of truly no way, oh God, that we could not perceive or fathom. We thank you for tearing down every man-made wall that we have built up. We thank you for making the crooked places straight. We thank you, oh God, for the straight and narrow, for the drawing, for the love, for the mercy, for the grace. We thank you, Jesus, for the shedding of your blood. We thank you, Jesus. We even thank you for the time and the season that we're in now. We know that Resurrection Sunday is upon us, but we don't wait until just the day to celebrate and to worship and to glorify your name. For resurrecting from the dead. Hallelujah, Jesus, for having death in the palm of your hand. We don't wait until that day, but we give you all the glory and the praise now. Hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, oh God, for the shedding of your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your spirit that dwells within us, to know that we don't just live this life, but we shall live again. We thank you, Jesus, for the promises, oh God. We thank you, oh God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I was anointed. Thank you.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Have the best night in Jesus' name. Love you with the love of Christ.
Living Bread. Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.